The Trump administration's immigration crackdown has led to a nationwide uptick in arrests. New federal data shows arrests in Georgia and the Carolinas are up from last fiscal year. And the president's attitude toward immigrants from Mexico is well known.
When Mexico sends its people, they're not sending their best. They're sending people that have lots of problems. They're bringing drugs, they're bringing crime, they're rapists, and some, I assume, are good people.
Some characterize Trump's comments as not just anti-Mexican, but anti-immigrant. My next guest says that kind of animus is older than America itself. Historian Kenneth C. Davis is the author of the Don't Know Much About series, among many other books, and he joins us from New York. Good to have you back, Ken.
Good morning, Celeste. Always a pleasure to be with you.
So what kind of character, what category is included for anti-immigrant? How do you sort of delineate that? Anyone who wasn't born here?
Well, that's what we call immigrants in general, so I suppose so. Of course, we have this whole class of dreamers. It's a different class of immigrants in this country right now, children who were brought here illegally but raised essentially for their entire lives as Americans. So that's one complicating factor. But I think to speak to the first question, the issue of how this country has viewed immigrants is really an important one, because we do have this myth, this, you know, you put it on the front cover of the kids' textbooks and school books, the melting pot myth, the rainbow, the wonderful place of opportunity. But the history really shows that that life has been anything but a melting pot for most immigrants, going back to, as you said, the time before the country was even a nation.
So how far back could it possibly go? I mean, at some point, the people who are coming here from mostly Europe, did they think of themselves as immigrants?
Well, of course, every different group that gets here thinks of themselves as somehow entitled, I suppose. When we think about kind of America in the sense of the United States of America, the beginning of that period of our history, if you go back, for instance, to the 1750s, well before independence, you had people in Pennsylvania who were concerned about a rush of immigrants who didn't speak the language, who were seemed to be of a criminal class, who weren't teaching their children the language, that the signposts were in a different language, and this was seen as a threat to democracy in America itself, or I should say to the government itself. The man who expressed those opinions was Benjamin Franklin in the 1750s, and the people he was speaking about were Germans. There were even German Americans who expressed the same concern about the new wave of Germans coming in. So again, this goes back to a time before there was a United States of America. Shortly after the Revolution, when the Constitution is written, drafted, and ratified, the next crisis came over France, being in the throes of a revolution. So the French became the dangerous group that should be kept out, and we passed legislation to keep them out, called the Alien Acts, part of the Alien and Sedition Acts. This actually authorized the president, John Adams at the time, to deport anyone without any due process, of course. Adams never did so. And as time went by, the names and the of origin of countries changed, but the attitudes did not.
Well,
people who were here, and I would single out especially because it was the longest lasting and most significant, Irish Catholics. And that's where the point of religion comes into this as well, because religion and fear of immigrants go hand in hand from the beginning.
So let's actually hear, this is actually from the film Gangs of New York. And in this clip, you're going to hear two characters talking as they watch Irish immigrants arrive at the loading docks in 19th century New York City.
Americans are boarding.
I don't see no Americans. I see trespassers. Irish hops do a job for a nickel what a does for a dime, and a white man used to get a quarter for.
What have they done? Name one thing they've contributed.
Votes.
Votes, you say?
They vote how the Archbishop tells them, and who tells the Archbishop? Their king in the pointy hat, what sits on his throne in Rome.
Bill's got mixed feelings as regards the Irish.
So we're speaking with historian Kenneth C. Davis, author of the Don't Know Much About series. You point out that with the Irish, we started to get this hatred against religion in particular. What did that? How did that change the view of immigrants?
Well, I think it was the anti-Catholic mood in this country was always a powerful part of American history that we tend to brush under the carpet because it's embarrassing. It doesn't fit in with our notion of a nation that welcomes all believers, and it certainly doesn't fit in with the notion of a Christian nation. What it was a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant nation. And the Irish were disdained, hated, feared because of all the reasons that we hate and fear other immigrants, as the caller earlier said. They take the jobs. They're willing to work for less. They're dirty. They're diseased. They're ignorant. They don't speak the language. With the Irish, the element of anti-Catholicism became part of the mix, and very powerfully. This was not just a small argument over how to say prayers. This was a deep-seated hatred that had caused wars in Europe for centuries. The Founding Fathers understood that, and that is one of the reasons that people like Washington and Jefferson and Madison were so, and Adams, were so concerned that this be a secular nation. They knew the danger of religion getting into the politics. But in the early 19th century, it was widely felt that Catholics were not only dangerous and Irish Catholics dangerous because they took jobs, but there was a belief that they were actually trying to overthrow the government and that they would install the Pope in a new Vatican that was to be built in all places in Cincinnati. This was preached, an idea that was preached from some of the most prominent pulpits in America, including that of Harriet Beecher Stowe's father and others. This was
author
the
of
mainstream.
Uncle Tom's Cabin, yeah.
Yes, this was the mainstream of America in early 19th century America. And of course, it continued for much of the next century. When John F. Kennedy is elected in 1960, it is an astonishing moment that America gets a Roman Catholic president because of the great and deep antipathy, especially from evangelical Christians, towards Catholic. Billy Graham and Norman Vincent Peale, the two most prominent preachers of that day, both campaigned vigorously, although somewhat secretly, to keep John F. Kennedy out of the White House, not because of his political beliefs, but because of his religion.
Let's actually hear. This is actually former Republican Congressman Brian Bilbray in 2010. He's on the show Hardball on MSNBC, and he's describing how people might be able to identify undocumented immigrants.
They will look at the kind of dress you wear. There is different type of attire. There's different type of, you went right down to the shoes, right down to the clothes, but mostly by behavior. It's mostly behavior, just as the law enforcement people here in Washington, D.C. does it based on certain criminal activity. There is behavior things that professionals are trained in across the board, and this group shouldn't be exempt from those observations as much as anybody else.
How common is it, Ken, to sort of excuse anti-immigrant behavior in the United States by couching it in terms of safety?
It's always been part of the idea of keeping immigrants out. And of course, every generation that arrives gets here, gets settled in, and then wants to pull up the ladder to keep the next generation from coming in. It's exactly what people feared about the Germans in the 1750s, the French in the 1790s, the Irish for nearly 200 years, and later on the go down the list, the Chinese who built the railroads were then actually excluded as a race from this country under what were offensively called the Cooley Laws. Later on, of course, after Pearl Harbor, the Japanese Americans, some born here, were interned in what we have to call concentration camps. So this is part of our political, historical DNA. We fear these things. We think about the Ku Klux Klan primarily as a racist, racial organization, but it was as deeply anti-foreign, especially in the 1920s, as it was anti-black. This was after the First World War, when there was an influx influx of refugees. Yes, refugees have come to America for a very long time, and immigrants from Eastern Europe, some of the Southern European countries. The Italians were specifically limited. There were immigration, very, very sharp restrictions on immigration in the 1920s that targeted Italians and people from Eastern Europe. Once again, Italians had the layer of criminality because of those stereotypes, as well as being Catholic. So they had the double whammy of, again, criminal and Catholic.
We only have about less than a minute left, Kenneth, but do you see anything new in the current wave of anti-immigrant sentiment, or is it all pretty much historically echoed?
Well, I think this echoes the same arguments that we've heard for centuries in this country, and that's why I say it is part of our political DNA. Of course, the stakes have gone up in our time. I'm speaking to you from New York, a city where Times Square is on lockdown at the moment. I don't know the reasons, but
yeah.
there clearly, you know, we are living in dangerous times. A few weeks ago, I was getting ready to ride my bicycle up the West Side Highway on that day. So these are different times for this country, but I don't believe that should allow us to dismiss the very, very fundamental ideas that the country was founded on, and those founding fathers believed in a great deal. There's a reason that John Adams never exercised the power he had as president to deport anyone. He did not personally believe in that idea.
Yeah.
I think that's important to remember.
Yeah.
When we let fear overwhelm reason, rationality, and good information, we go down a very troubling path.
Historian Kenneth C. Davis, he's author of the Don't Know Much About series. Ken, thank you so much.
It is always a pleasure, Celeste. Thanks so much for having me.